Different on purpose. You're tuned to Mission Driven. Listener supported. WMNF Tampa. WMNF Tampa and WMNF HD1. Building a better world, one important news story and great song at a time.
Tampa.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Sunday Forum. Good morning, Billy. How we doing?
Pretty good.
That's good, that's good. The weather is nice outside today, isn't it?
Much nicer than I expected, yes.
Exactly. All right, listen, okay. Good morning, everybody. Thank you again for joining us for another episode with the Sunday Forum with the Fourth Estate. I am Miss Annie. You hear Mobility on the ones and twos, and we'll have esteemed host, as he likes to be called, Walter L. Smith coming in with us soon. But let's start it off. Let's start it off, Mobility. So the government is still in a shutdown, as you can see, right?
Yep.
Guess what I heard yesterday? Well, actually, I read yesterday. You remember Dow Strawberry? I know you remember Dow Strawberry.
Oh, yes.
Baseball player?
Baseball,
yeah. So, how nice of Trump. He gave him a pardon. Did you hear that?
Yeah, plus...
This is important to him, yeah.
Right, this is what's important. You said it, they corrupt. And, exactly. You know, it's no harm in giving people a second chance. But, you know, outside of Darryl Strawberry, the guy that was in jail for corruption actually got freed. And nobody even understands that. You know, so it's almost as if, you know, corrupt recognize corrupt.
Exactly. And it blows my mind. This is what you had time to do. He literally took the time to call him on the phone. He called Darryl Strawberry on the phone early in the morning while he was still laying down with his wife. So that was important to him. But the government being shut down and people being hungry, that's not important.
No. Right. And we have that issue.
Got his attention.
Right.
It blows my mind. When I read it, I said, this man, he just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. It gets better and better. The level of stupidity, you know, that this man is doing, it's amazing to me.
Right.
So
it's
we're
chaos.
Now, like, exactly. What are we, like 40, 45 days now?
We're only 40 days, but, you know,
40 days.
Ever since January 20th, we've been feeling like it's been in a shutdown ever since he took the oath of office. But... right now, we're watching this quilt work of SNAP benefits. Some people in U.S. states are starting to receive their November benefits, and people elsewhere are not. Some people are not. So, you know, it's just chaos right now.
Yeah. And if the part that I'm pretty sure everyone's saying, but this should have been said way beforehand because, again, everything he's doing should not shock us. However, it does, because you can't imagine somebody, you know, being that blind, that... is that stupid? They did not see what's in front of their face,
right,
for lack of a better term. But your concern of the American people being hungry is literally like third or fourth on your agenda. But this freaking building, monument that you're building to yourself, so nobody cares about the freaking ballroom.
Right.
300 some odd million or whatever the case may be. You know, that's number one, you know, on your priority. And if that's not number one, then sending money to these other countries, you know, is what we're priority than American people going hungry. And it just blows my mind that his only comeback each time is, oh, it's the Democrats. if they just go ahead, you know, and pass this bill, then we'll make sure everybody gets the money. So now we're holding people hostage to being hungry.
Yeah, but we got to just trust them, trust the Republicans. And they haven't shown they can be trusted, but...
but at this point, it's not even about the Democrats. It's about people being hungry, man.
Exactly, okay? Right.
Hello, sir. It's not even about the politics of it anymore. It's the fact that you're intentionally letting people go hungry, or you're threatening them, you know, that they're going to go hungry.
Right.
Because you are a child, and you're having your own personal temper tantrum, and until you get your way, this is what you're going to continue to do.
Which means
this is making sense.
We're going to still feel like it's a constitutional crisis because the courts are telling him what to do and he's ignoring it if he doesn't want to do it. And that's a constitutional crisis. And we saw that when the courts ordered him Friday to either make a choice, either give partial payments or give full payments on the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP, and he decided to give the partial payments, I guess because, you know, that's next to being mean. You know, instead of giving the full payments, I give the partial payment. But then he turned right around and said he's going to ignore the courts completely and hold back SNAP benefits. How can you hold them back when the courts just told you you must give it? But Friday night, the Supreme Court, I'm looking at one of the justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson, the black lady justice that just got approved to the court. She temporarily paused the judicial order that was put out on Friday, with some states began issuing full monthly SNAP benefits to the people a day after the federal judge ordered the regime to provide the funds. But Friday night, the Supreme Court's Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson temporarily paused that judicial order to give an appeals court in Boston time to decide whether to issue a more lasting halt. So Jackson acted because she handles emergency matters from Massachusetts. So I guess that's why she was singled out for what happened. But we're going to, I guess that was because they want the appeals to play itself out. But the high court didn't stop payment distribution in at least some states, but millions of people still who depend on it are still in limbo, going hungry.
And let me just say for the record for our listeners, okay, those people that that's hungry in limbo, do you think there's some here the Democratic or Republican? No, they do not. They just know they're hungry.
Right.
They know they're hungry and their family is hungry. So, I mean, whatever you may be thinking of thinking that what he's doing is making sense or whatever the case may be, it will never be okay to intentionally deprive someone of food, you know, or some, to feed their families just so you can get your way. There's no logic. There's no validating that at all. At all.
Right.
And the part that blows my mind, continues, I keep saying, is that legally he has been ordered to do it, and he's still going against what the court has legally told him he needs to do. You know, and how everybody's still acting like, that's okay. It's okay. Let him ignore all the statutes of the things that he's been doing wrong. It's okay. And we're letting this happen.
Yeah.
To me, at this point for me, like I said, I know a lot of things that has happened in my lifetime. I'm 58 years young. A lot of things that happened in my lifetime, I've seen somewhat shocked and never thought I would see it and so on and so forth. But I could just only imagine because, our ancestors saw much worse than this as they were getting us to where we are now to have these liberties. But to watch it slowly, you know, being stripped, you know, strategically being stripped piece by piece, that this once government, that the things that our Constitution said, we the people have choices and decisions, we the people are being stripped right now. It's just what I want. He might as well say, this is what I want. Because this is not what the people want.
Well, hopefully,
he's doing whatever he wants to do.
Hopefully what happened in the elections, the elections on Tuesday will start this long nightmare to come to an end. We're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, because if you continue the blue wave that we saw started Tuesday night with Mamdani's win and with the governors who won
New York,
in deep blue and deep red, Virginia. You know, so we still, if we could keep that momentum going, the voters' anger continue to seed through 2028, then you could elect the Congress that could finally bring this regime to its knees.
And that is only if we continue to realize how important our vote is.
Right.
You know, that's only if we continue to realize that this, that we will make that pivot for the blue. I agree with you 100%. If they continue to understand that and follow along with the pattern that's happening. I'm serious.
The bottom line is that, you know, as if the people feel like they're under siege, they're going to do something, and hopefully that will drive them to the polls in 2026.
Exactly.
And, you know, not wait until 2028. Go in 2026, because, you know, you got to recognize eventually, you know, the ruling class are going to do what they want to do. Eventually, the people got to rise up and do what they want to do. And we're seeing that anger start to shift. Hopefully, that momentum continues, because, you know, you just can't get complacent at a time like this.
That statement you just made is what's most important. When the people get angry enough to rise up, because we do know change happens. Change happens when we rise up. Let me be clear on that. Change does happen. And I hope our listeners are understanding that. Be a part of that change, because change happens when we rise up. When we get that to that point that we've heard our parents say, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're going to do something? At this point, we should all be effing sick and tired. Okay?
Right.
I am sick and tired, man.
Well, they got you and New Yorkers have got given some momentum with Mamdani election there. And no matter how you feel, the momentum is definitely rising there. So hopefully that would be contagious. That would be some contagion there. Thank you, New York.
That's why New York, let's speak up, okay? But that's why it's so important when we're telling our listeners these local votes and everything. It matters. You need to participate in those elections as well. Don't just wait for the presidential one. participate in those local elections, because that's part of our change. That's part of making this, we can't even call it a democratic system anymore. It used to didn't matter whether it was Republican or Democrat in the office. We at least had a democratic system of some sort. We don't even have that now. We cannot call what's happening a democratic system at all, because it is not. This is a dictatorship that's happening to us.
We got to take it back. You know? We got to take it back. Well, you've obviously raised the ruckus, because the phone lines are lit up.
Yes,
Walter L. Smith is in the house, ready to fire it up. So we going to get this show. This is the Sunday Forum. Miss Annie is on the phone, and Walter L. Smith II is in the house.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to this edition of the Sunday Forum right here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. This is your host, Walter L. Smith II, along with the members of the 4th Estate crew. And they have been blowing up these lines. These phone lines are going, boy.
That started some ish.
I'm trying to tell you. Let me tell you, every bit of what you've been talking about is true. And we've got to make certain that we are doing everything we can to do for self and do for our communities, as we're seeing this onslaught. It's like a exertion of hunger that they're putting on the people. This is unbelievable. As we're seeing, it's like a punishment for not doing what he says. The Roman Emperor, if you want to call it that, right? And so this is very Roman Empire-esque. Very Roman Empire-esque. And if you know anything about the Roman Empire and the history of the Roman Empire, you know that there are several times that in their history that the people were left to starve intentionally. And then, of course, what happened was you had a Roman Emperor that would come in and say, okay, we're gonna do reform. Well, that reform relieved the people and gave them bread, gave them food, gave them coin, right? And as we look at the coin that was given and look at the food that was given, we end up seeing that people were happy at that point, right? And they were so grateful to the emperor for being so kind. Well, I think
it's not to let us starve.
Yeah. I think we probably need to have a history lesson at some point, a universal history lesson of just ancient history, and look at the patterns of what's happened. This is a consistent thing with this guy. This isn't, he thinks he's an emperor. He thinks that he is a king. He thinks that he is a Caesar.
That's part of the dimension that's going on that nobody don't want to know. That's part of the dimension that's happening.
But right.
Let's see what my caller's got to say. I'm telling you, because that's crazy.
And what's really interesting is to hear Steve Bannon talk about it, right? And talk about how if we lose, as he says, we them lose in the midterms and in 2028, then there are a lot of people that are going to go to prison, including himself. and that's a threat.
Yeah.
That's a veiled threat.
That's a veiled threat on a lot of our parts, because I really do think this man should be in prison for what he's doing right now. But only for the fact, not how I feel just personally. I really feel, because what he's doing is not only unconstitutional, but to me, for you to have that office and feel that you can do this, there should be some kind of consequence. But to me, this is criminal. This is a criminal act that he's doing. That's how I personally look at it, because you are intentionally putting people's lives and health in harm's way. And you're doing it with the knowledge of knowing that you have the ability to make a change and make it better, and you just choose not to.
These are human rights violations.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I hope that they recognize that they are on the world stage. The one thing that the United States has tried to do in the past is make certain that ever since there's been an AP, and ever since there's been an international wire of news, we have tried to stay off the world stage for human rights violations. So everybody else is a violator of human rights, but not us.
But we are now.
And we've been a violator. Our government has been a violator of human rights for quite some time, for literally centuries. And so, you know, now they're on the world stage. And so now it's incumbent upon them to try to come up with propaganda that is very false, extremely false, to cover up what is very obvious to so many people. Yet there are those who are under the spell of Leviathan and are believing the Jedi mind trick to the point that they are dumb enough to continue to vote for this guy and to continue to agree with the things he's doing. Outside of them actually being jaded and drinking the Kool-Aid, they're just evil people. There are people out there who are just evil people who actually believe that what he's doing is okay. Because
it ain't happening to him.
Yeah.
To them, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not happening to them. And they're just, as I said, they're evil people. And so, you know, there are people who are really uneducated. I mean, we have to understand that. There are people out there that are very uneducated and really believe with all their heart and soul that what this man is doing is somehow going to turn out okay. And
but at this point, Walter, that's by choice. They're uneducated by choice. If you were to use that as a valid excuse in a court, in a court, they would tell you ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Okay?
Of course.
They will say that to you. The judge would tell you ignorance of the law is not a valid excuse. At this point, you're uneducated because you're choosing not to be uneducated. There's nowhere in the world you can tell me you can pick up anything, whether it be technology, anything that's going to connect you to the internet, any paper outlet that's not mentioning something about what's going on. I don't give a damn. You just sitting outside in the park. You hear somebody walking around talking about somebody being damn it hungry. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. You're hearing someone talk about what this man is doing in office. So at this point, you're choosing to be ignorant, and that's not an excuse. That is not a valid excuse for you not to do anything. To me, you're 100% correct. That means you're just an evil person. You're just mean and evil that you're going along with this when you know blatantly what this man is doing is wrong.
Oh, yeah. No. But again, that's like I always say, when my problem becomes your problem, when my problem becomes your problem,
then you got a problem.
Then we got a problem. Now
but,
we
you
got
know,
a problem.
I think that, looking at, I just wanted to share some of my reading list, or at least one book on my reading list. I'm reading Putin right now. It's interesting to know, to see the kind of politics that he's been playing. I'm getting a different aspect of him, but I see that he's definitely a propagandist. I'm at the time where he's dealing with Obama right now. I can't wait to get to the part where he's dealt with this current regime. But I'm also reading a book that talks about the 400-year untold history of class in America. Is called White Trash. And I think this is the historical exploitation that we're seeing playing out right now. We've seen this regime play out since 2016. They've been exploiting white anger even at a time when the upper crust of this country hates poor whites. And so, but they've used them to be a foil against us and everybody else. And that's continuing. That politics is continuing. The book is White Trash by Nancy Eisenberg, The 400-Year Untold History of Class in America. That's a very interesting book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If Mabili says it, that's what it is. If Mabili says it, that's what it is. That's what it is.
That's it.
One man's opinion is in this particular case, it works. Let me tell you, folks, we are excited about today's show. We have a young man who's coming in today named Rain, Solo Rain. He is an up-and-coming rap artist who is on Spotify. You can hear him on Spotify and your favorite music outlets right now. And he has done, and that's Rain, R-A-Y-N-E. And his music is, it's transforming now. He's doing a lot of, and he's very, very active in the community. And he's involved in a lot of great stuff. And, he's actually happens to be a former student of mine. And I am so glad to have I always check in on my former students, always, always. And with that, it's important for us to know that our students, you know, are doing well, that they're alive and well, that they are functioning and doing positive things in the community, right? And so, you know, this young man came from a long way. He came from a long way to get to where he is now. So I'm very, very proud of him. And I feel like a proud papa. I feel like a proud papa. You know, every time I see or see my students out there doing great things, and, you know, this young man is no exception. He definitely is no exception. And you know, and truthfully, we have our local artists now, and I vowed I would never allow this type of thing to happen again. Dolce, for instance, right? We did our actual dedication to her and her music. And we have been, you know, I am excited about where she is right now. She's done an outstanding job, a graduate of Blake High School, and, you know, and was a good friend to my children, and I call them my children, but my daughter and my nieces, and as they were growing up. And really, honestly, she's done an outstanding job. You cannot take that away from her. You cannot. And for all the criticisms that are out there, you know, we salute you with all of our heart. Tampa salutes you, Dolce. And we're going to be doing the same thing and are doing the same thing for this young man right here, Rain. Rain, what's going on, brother?
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How you doing?
Man, tired. Had to be up here early for you guys, man. Tired.
That's right, brother. That's right. That's where it is, man. Yes, if it was, sir. Ricky Smiley, would you be here? Yes.
Nah, yeah,
you would. Yeah, you would.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
you would.
Yeah.
Yes, you would. Hey, man, glad to have you here, brother.
Good to be here, man. Good to be here.
Well, we want you early in the morning. That shows that you go up places. So that's a good thing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, man. You know, I'm proud, very proud of you. Let me start by saying that.
I appreciate it.
I'm very, very proud of you. And I tell you, so everybody knows, as I said before, I always look in on my students. Mm-hmm. And when somehow they reach out to me on Facebook, mm-hmm. right? So Rain would reach out to me periodically on Facebook. And I'm like, wait a minute, I know this is not. Now I switched over and looked at who it was, and I was like, I'll be doggone. That's Rain. And sure enough, you know, I said, you know what, let me call him. Let me call him. So I did. I called him on the messenger, and he picks up the phone. Professor Smith. I said, brother, how you doing? I'm doing fine. And it was great to hear your voice, man. It was great to hear your voice as we were getting ready for the recent protest that we just did recently over at my library over here in West Tampa. And he said, listen, what are you up to? And asked me what he can do to help. He asked me what he can do to help. And, you know, it's a breath of fresh air, brother, to hear your voice, yes, but also to hear you to say, you know, what can I do to help?
Got to do what I can for the community, man. I love giving back, and I love trying to do everything that I possibly can to give back to my community, help people in ways that need to be helped, and do everything that I was unable to do, or things that I was unable to acquire when I was younger, back when I was his student. There were programs that we didn't have. There was types of help that we didn't have. And back then, like, so I'm pretty sure everybody's seen what this past rally was about for the TECO bills. Back then, TECO wasn't that expensive, you know? And then, like, listening to when he was telling me what this rally was going to be about, I had to take the chance to come out here and help and support him. One, because he's my teacher. He's helped me get through life with a lot of different things. And then two, like, as a community, we struggle with enough things in our neighborhoods. And the last thing that we need to worry about is an electric bill that's $600, $700, $500. And now you got to worry about if you're going to get food, got to worry about how you're going to take care of your kids and stuff like that. Got to worry about if you're going to have enough money left to get gas so you can go to work so you can pay the TECO bill.
Right. Right.
You know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's literally like these corporate giants, all these big companies, but they're like taking advantage of people in our types of communities. And we literally have to stand for something. We have to fight back. We have to do something. or nothing's ever going to change.
Absolutely. Go ahead. As they say, go forth, young man. Speak your peace. I love it.
You
did good.
I tell you, I think I did.
I love
but, it. But I'm very proud of the work that he's done on his own. He's always been, you've always been a very progressive-minded young man. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he was always, you know, the one asking questions, the one who was trying to find new ways to do things or whatever it was. I'm like, no, stick to what the hell I just said. Don't be coming up with anything new. Just stick with what I said, and we'll be all right. But no, but Ray, I'm very proud of you, man. So you're in the rap game, and you were in the rap game then. You were trying to get in, and I remember that very clearly.
I was trying to get my foot in the door.
Oh my God! So he walks in. So you know he comes into the classroom, and I'll never forget. You know, you have a bunch of students that come in, and they would sign up. You know, put their names on the list, and I'm teaching classes on environmental health and safety and getting these kids certified to go into jobs, right? And so he comes into the classroom along with all the other guys, you know, and girls, and he signs up. And just the way he carried himself made him stand out. Right.
That's excellent.
The way he carries himself was a standout. And what he kept asking these questions. I'm like, dude.
and Rain, continue on to do that. The closed mouths don't get fed.
They don't.
I know that's right.
They don't. But he but I tell you right now, and Rain, tell everybody. I know these stories. Tell everybody, first of all. Where you from, first of all, and give us a little background.
So I'm actually a native here. I'm from Tampa, Florida, you know, and I was raised in the neighborhood of Sulphur Springs, and back then it was rough. It was rough.
Yeah, it's still rough around here.
Yeah, it is.
Brother Charlie Adams, though, got to give a shout out to Charlie Adams for the work that he's doing over in Sulphur Springs now to try to bring some sort of stability to the place.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a great job with the market that's there. So growing up in Sulphur Springs, how did you get to what high school did you go to?
I went to Chamberlain High School.
Okay.
Chamberlain.
How'd that go?
I'm not gonna lie, bro.
Just tell us what it was. I know the story. I'm just trying to. Chamberlain was a whole different animal
back then, man. I'm talking about there was no safe football games because we always had issues with Blake. We used to skip school just to go down there and fight, like ride our bikes from one side of North Boulevard to the opposite side of town to Blake to fight students.
Literally one side of North Boulevard to the other side of
North
Boulevard.
It's a straight shot. Take the bikes off the bike racks. We used to have, man, with some kids there that are being like little bolt cutters to school. We'll take people's bikes with the bolt cutters and just hop on North Boulevard, take it all the way down to Blake and fighting people in the parking lot. It was wild.
Let me ask you. I'm not in the studio to see this. Mm-hmm. The age range that we're in right now, are you middle 20s or early 20s, late 20s? Where are we?
I'm going to be 31 in January.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question. At the age of 30, okay, being a native from Tampa, I'm from New York.
Okay.
Being a native, from Tampa. I've been coming back and forth here since I'll probably say 85, 88. It's coming back and forth, and I finally made this, solidified as being my home. And mm-hmm. I saw a lot of changes for myself. So you being a native from here, especially coming from Sulphur Springs, because you're right, when I first got there, I heard how terrible Sulphur Springs was. Do not move over there. Don't go over there unless you want to fight and all that kind of stuff.
That is so true.
Being in your early 30s right now and seeing all the changes and transition that has happened, and now you're into the rap game, and as you should know, because I'm from here, I know we need more conscious rappers now. We don't need just the twerking rappers and, you know, the trap house rappers. We need conscious rappers right now. How did that transition happen?
Wait a minute. Who don't need no twerking rappers? What you talking about? I likes the twerking rappers. I'm just kidding.
Like 2 a.m., I guess.
Right.
But we don't need no twerking rappers right now. Okay? Let me be clear. So tell me how they transition.
We like twerking here on the Sunday Forum.
So,
so my
music is it has a couple different levels to it. So just because of the environment that I grew up in, naturally I do have some music that's like the twerking music. There's some music that's like more along the lines of gangster. But when I reached back out to the professor, and I took this opportunity with the rally, I was explaining to him the new direction in which I'm trying to head into my music. And unfortunately, my engineer was unable to get me a clean version of this song before I came in this morning. But I have a song that I'm pushing right now. You can find on any streaming service you get to. It's called Rodeo. And I named it Rodeo because that's what I felt like life was and still is today as a black man in America. I feel like the way that the system is built, it's built to have us just running in circles, doing the same stuff. had to pause for a second. Doing the same stuff in like a repetitive notion and keep us all trapped in this circle, going round and round and round and round. You know, they promote, there's literally, if you go on Google right now and try and type in something about a black community, you try and search anything to do with some of these neighborhoods in America, they don't push any type of positive narrative for our community, you know? And the song tells a story about that, how they push us to be killers. They push us to be drug dealers. They promote us as uneducated individuals. We're just a bunch of animals. We're criminals. And then I come on to the second verse, trying to push like my younger black men into a more positive standpoint. Like, hey, like, I understand this is what they tell you that you are. I understand this is what the music they push today tells you that you are. I understand this is what your community technically tries to make you become a part of. But like, it's bigger than that. Like, you don't have to rob people. You don't have to sell drugs. You can still go out here and get a job. You don't have to be 16 with three baby mamas.
Come on.
Right. You don't, like, this is a statistic that they've been pushing for years and years and years, and it was built to keep us down as a people.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Solo Rain. Our guest this morning is Solo Rain, local rap artist, and part of the real hip-hop culture, coming out of Tampa, Florida, one of our local artists. We're very proud to have him here. And, man, listen.
Well, let me ask one more question.
Sure, sure, sure. So,
Rain, since you said you don't have a clean version for us right now, what is one of your main verses that's in there that someone will hear and be like, it was Park. Wow, that makes sense. What's a verse that you have in that song, Rodeo? Because I love the concept how you just explained it, which is very true. We don't have to be that stereotype that they try to categorize as being because we're black or we come from a specific hood. Mm-hmm. But what's a verse in there that you can say to us real quick, you know, a cappella, to say, yeah, that brother's definitely
going to spark
them.
Let me run through this verse in my head.
You see his face right now.
I can edit out all the bad words.
I'm known for people online, so don't get mad at me. Don't get mad.
Okay. So I'm going to start with the second verse. They say if they pull up, we might as well park them. If they're looking for smoke, we might as well spark it. They already looking at us like some killers. They already think that we a bunch of dealers. They already think that we stupid, can't work and ain't worse. So they give us numbers and letters. Why should I not go out and catch me a body? Get snitched on by brothers that standing on side me. Why should I not put my trust all in a woman who don't love me for nothing and probably gonna rob me? Why should I keep planting my seed in Section 8 living while shucking and jiving? Or why not put my money up in the business? Why not stop messing with multiple women? Why not go look for a job while you work for your money? Stop robbing your neighbors because you just too lazy to get it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's difficult to try and rehearse this stuff with the amount of... Yep, there we go right there.
That's just the music. Okay.
Look at Mabili. Mabili being great over here.
It's technically my fault that I don't have a clean version yet. I should have told him beforehand because I knew about this. I've just been too busy with other endeavors. Well,
this is dropped. Yeah. So I mean,
I'm gonna come back with us again.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. You know, listen. You're welcome to come back again, and we're gonna hear more from him because he's gonna stick with us mm-hmm. for the rest of the show, and we're gonna talk politics with him.
Oh, I get to be here all morning. And listen, That's what I'm talking about.
Listen, let me tell you, he's hype now. He's hype, boy. He is hype. And he got, man, listen, we got the social media going. Tell us what social media outlet we're looking at right now.
We're looking at Facebook. I just got through doing my monetization on Facebook. I forgot to do it when I first went live in here. I also have the live stream going on Instagram. But this is for, you know, I pushed out to everybody that I was going to be doing this. I was running just a little bit late this morning. I had to get me some coffee.
I feel you.
Yeah. So right now I'm trying to run a monetization on the Facebook Live. That way, you know, all my streams can account for something and it's not just going blindly into the algorithm of Facebook. I want people to actually tune in and be able to see that, you know, things are positively being spoken about and we're actually, you know, I love the professor so much, man, because everything that we do talk about is built to encourage and help our people. So
absolutely.
Thank you, man. This man gonna make me cry for you, man.
Ain't nothing wrong with crying. Ain't nothing wrong with crying.
What I want you to do, remember those words that you just said, because when you get picked up from the Breakfast Club and when Ricky Smiley tried to chime in on our second because we had you first, you just remember to say that, okay? You just remember to say with the fourth estate that we had you first and you get that support because we want our listeners to team to support you. So, awesome. Just don't forget it, okay? Don't forget it.
Hey, man, listen. Just put that right there. Just put it right there because we all on social media and stuff, and I'm trying to get him into his own screen. So everybody can see him. This man said, listen, he is so, I'm excited. I'm just as excited as you are, brother. But we do not want you to miss your own social media outlet.
Right.
Oh, no, they know I'm here, but they got to know why I'm here.
Hey, man, listen, this is Solo Ray in the studio with us here this morning on Sunday Forum. And, one of our local artists right here in Tampa.
Yeah.
One of the best. And I'm ranking him up there with Dolce. I'm ranking them up there with Dolce.
We gotta get Dolce.
We gotta get her in here. We've always said that. We got a couple people on the phone right now, and we missed the ones before. If you were on the phone earlier, please call back. We want to hear from you this morning here on the Sunday Forum as we talk to one of our local artists and talk politics and hip hop with Solo Rain. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone lines.
All right, let's do it.
All right,
caller, welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Welcome.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, this is Eduardo. I'm actually inbound for the Bucks game today. But, hopefully this shutdown's going to be over soon because I got my brother coming in from Chicago November 24th, and then I'm flying out December 1st. So hopefully they're going to get their act together. And is it Mr. Ray? Is he still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I got to ask him, as you know, Mr. Silius Sampson, who thought he was pretty good driving, thought he had good racing skills yesterday, killed those people in Ybor City. What would you say if you had that young man next to you? What words of encouragement would you have for him?
That's tough in light of it being such a recent occurrence. First and foremost, like, my condolences and my prayers go out to the families of people who lost their loved ones in Ybor last night. And secondly, that's part of what the song Rodeo is about. If I had this young man in front of me right now, I would ask him what's going on, because, you know, normally that's what happens with our people. We don't have anybody to sit here and open up to, because our culture is so big on men being able to deal with things on themselves.
Right.
Like, you don't need help. It's okay to hold everything in. You know, a lot of people teach you not to cry and everything else. I would have to sit down and ask him, what's going on? What's wrong? to figure out why this situation even took place. Because, you know, I understand in moments like that, due to the past that I used to have, you don't think clearly, and you don't think about things that could possibly...
All the repercussions of
Of things. And it's also the local law enforcement's fault for, you know, chasing him into such a highly populated area, especially on the weekend. You know there's crowds there. They shouldn't have done it. But the kid, I feel like with him being so young, man, the kid needs help. You know, probably needs a hug, like a father figure, somebody to be there to support him. He was clearly led astray in some way.
Very true.
It's hard. I'm sure it's kind of hard to, like you said before, it's kind of hard to kind of respond to something like that because it's so recent, and we don't know all the things that are involved in the process.
And then in my line of work, so outside of the music, I do security work, and we've been getting backlash from this stuff since it happened. My security group chat, actually, we have some security guards who took leave because they were standing in front of the copper bar right next to Bradley's. People try to push the blame on security as if there was something that we could have did to prevent it, to help anybody. You know, naturally, like, we're human beings just like the victims are. Same things would have happened if they would have gotten hit by a car. We're not superhumans. So just dealing with the confrontations and the backlashes from that, and then trying to console with the families and make sure that they're okay. And then now there's the issue with his family as well, which is, you know, it's normal. There's no wrong way to feel about this situation. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion, but everybody, I feel like there's a time and place for everything. Somebody really needs to sit down and pick this young man's brain and see, you know, what he had going on, man. I don't feel like he should be. I'm gonna stray away from this topic for a second. He just needs to be spoken to. He needs to be understood. You know, consequences are still going to be the consequences, but, you know.
A lesson needs to be learned from this.
Yeah, a lesson definitely needs to be learned. So I'm going to pray for both the suspect and the victims. And I hate calling our folks suspects, but I'm going to pray for both parties in this instance.
I want to say, Rain, I love how you are taking your time to choose your words carefully. One, you are correct. It is fresh in everybody's mind and hearts right now, so it's heavy for everyone. Mm. But I love the fact that you're looking at it, you know, in a wide angle, as opposed to just tunnel vision. Oh, he was wrong. He shouldn't do this and did that. You're looking at, yes, there's something wrong. There's something else that's going on with this young man, you know, and you're also bringing attention. The police, their job is to, you know, try to, you know, curb this kind of thing, but also they need to be conscious that they chased him into an area where they knew it was going to be a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So there was a high likelihood of more, you know, incidents and accidents, you know, and more casualties, say, mm-hmm. For lack of a better term, so more casualties could happen. You know, but I love how you're being clear and intentional with your words. And you're right, he shouldn't just be ostracized. Mm-hmm. You know, he should not just be, you know, considered, that was it, young black man, oh my God, he's driving. Why did this happen? Something occurred prior to this. There's a reason behind it, even if it does not make sense to us right now. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have to give our hearts out to both sides, his family as well as the victim's family, because everybody's affected. Mm-hmm. Including the society as a whole and the community as a whole. We're all affected by when these type of tragedies happen. So it is fresh, but you gave the best. I think you gave a good answer. So that's all.
Right, I gave it the best I could with that one, just in light of it being so recent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are a lot of responses that could be given. And there certainly are some things that need to be looked into in terms of solutions to this, to the actual act, right?
Right.
You know, there are a lot of things. I actually heard everything from the punishment to literally creating a track, another, you know, a racetrack where people can do this thing properly and stuff like that. And we've done that before, but because of an expansion of one of our gyp stacks here, mm-hmm. through Mosaic, we actually lost one of our racetracks that we did have down in South County, mm-hmm. recently. So But again, you know, I don't know. Again, the resolution for something like this is tough to come up with, and there are a bunch of answers. We got another caller on here, and we're gonna go to your response there in a minute, Ryan. Caller, welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Greetings. I've arrived from my mental layup.
All right. Are you about to start rapping too, brother?
No, that's some famous words from another rapper.
Yes, I'm aware.
Yeah. I do that because I love rap. Rap changed everything. And the young man right there, kudos to you and salute. I've been here since 1983 in music. And I done did all kind of stuff. And I know one thing, I've had most of my stuff stolen, not because of the copyright, because of the powers that be. And that's the thing that we talk about over here, because I have a little studio and my kids do music. And if you watch Spotify, look up D-I-S, Caden, D-I-S, Caden. And then maybe we could get together, too, to conglomerate, because like I was explaining to my son, they all solo. And no disrespect to anybody, but the most knowledgeable person I know that raps right now is KRS-One, because that's all he talk is consciousness. And I love conscious rap, but I also love banging beats. It's just music, period. But my point being that most of the things that I see that hurt the industry is that we go at it as an individual. You see what I'm saying? Most of the biggest names was groups, Sugar Hill Gang, and you come on up, then you got Wu-Tang, you got Public Enemy. You know, you just got so many groups that be banging, and they really good. Because it's a conglomeration of brain power and energy that can't be matched. And the industry has always taken the greatest out of, even in R&B, all music, they take the greatest and break the group down because they're too powerful.
Oh, yeah, we've seen how they tried to play Wu-Tang recently, you know, in recent years. But they're now seasoned, and they've gone through a lot of the pits and the pitfalls as it pertains to the game, and both as a group and individually. What makes Wu-Tang, you know, in my mind, right? What makes Wu-Tang so significant in the rap game and in the hip hop world is, number one, they're sticking to the culture. They are conscious rappers. While every once in a while, well, I won't say every once in a while somehow mixing in there's a lesson to be learned, really in their rhymes, right? Because their lives, they're telling what's happening in their lives, and it's real. It's very, very real, right? It's not pretend. It's real, and I think that we've seen this happen, but their success as a group is you have individuals who have had success as well as collectively they've had success. Mm-hmm. And that's never been seen in the hip hop world. But Rain, what are your thoughts about that? And we don't have a lot of time actually. We're gonna get that thought. We're gonna get your thoughts on this just when we come back from NPR. We got Solo Rain, local artist, rap artist right here in the Tampa area. That's right. That's right. Do it again.
Skate.
That's his thing. That's his thing. Right here on the Sunday Forum. This is your host, Walter Usman, the second, along with the members of the Fourth Estate crew, right here on WMNF 8.5 Tampa. Join us in a few minutes after NPR, right here on the Sunday Forum.
WMNF Tampa.